Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. We are back. 13 after. Welcome back, heroes. You are the reason I do this show. And Annabelle Dodd is our guest this hour. She is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. Annabelle is a faculty member at Northeastern University's state-of-the-art program, where she teaches telecommunications for the non-technical, that's me, formerly a marketing manager at Bell Atlantic and telecommunications manager at a Fortune 500 company. She's a top telecom consultant and popular speaker on telecommunications issues. Annabelle Dodd, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. As I really enjoyed our visit last time as you helped us to understand what some of these telecommunication terms and concepts are. And I know one of the things that we've got on your mind today is to talk a little bit about the Internet. But before we do that, you've got a little bit of an update that you'd like to give us on something we talked about last week, or not last week, but the last time you were here.
Yes. There was an article in Newsweek, I think it was last week's article, and it talked about the package that S3, who's the CEO of Sprint.
Now, you're talking about the MCI WorldCom Sprint
merger. The proposed merger, right.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned is that the S3 is getting $672 million.
That individual, that one man, is getting $672 million.
On top of his regular salaries and bonuses.
Bonuses and stock options and all that.
Right.
And of course, they're not going to fire him. He's probably going to continue to have a multi-million dollar package every year.
Right. It's an enormous amount of money.
How much money does one person need?
I don't know, but they want a lot. They don't need so much, but they really want a lot. And you know,
how do you justify one person getting that much money on a deal like that?
I think it's outrageous, and I think it's really terrible that the wealth isn't being spread across. I mean, there are a lot of people that work very hard. I'm not talking welfare recipients. I'm talking people that work. The other thing is last week the merger between Ameritech and SBC, the two regional Bell operating companies, was approved. And the CEO of Ameritech, I don't remember how much he got in his part of the buyout, but he and his top people made hundreds of millions also, or at least millions.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out before we went on air, the air gym, that's got to be at least a part of the motivation for some of these mergers.
Well, of course, the real bottom line is what does this do for consumers?
Right.
Does it create more competition? Does it intensify the competition? Does it create efficiencies? Does it provide better services and lower rates and charges to the consumer? That's the bottom line.
And I don't think in the MCI Sprint, there are really only three major carriers in this country, that long-distance carriers that own fiber optic facilities throughout the country, and now there's only going to be two. The three are MCI, WorldCom, AT&T, and Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
So for business customers that like to deal with a facilities-based carriers, they are going to lose some choice. And Quest is building a lot of fiber, and Frontier has some, and Level 3.
But you know they're going to be, I mean, it's just going to be a matter of time till they're absorbed.
Right. Or Quest is bought.
Mm-hmm.
It bought U.S. West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, major carriers are dwindling the number.
It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few years, two or three or four to 5 years, about all that, but it is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. It's interesting to note the some of the decision makers and what their take is on it.
Right.
All right, let's move on and talk. By the way, folks, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question or comment, if you'd like to talk to us, especially anything about telecommunications, if you're trying to buy a cell phone, if you're trying to hook up to the Internet, if you're whatever it might be with regard to telecommunications, I have one of the experts with us right now. Her name's Annabelle Dodd, and we're talking today primarily about the Internet. And there is an awful lot in her book Essential Guide to Telecommunications about the Internet. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. Annabelle Dodd, tell us about the history of the Internet. Now, we've had a few people on the show before who have done this, but I bet you can do a much better job.
Well, I don't know, Jim. I'll try. The Internet was started in 1969 at the University of California.
Not by Al Gore.
No, but he was instrumental in promoting it, but he didn't start it.
Yeah, he was like 21 in 1969.
Right. Right.
Maybe 23.
Right.
Go ahead.
And it was also BBNN, Bolt, Baranek, and Newman, which is now part of CTE. It's called CTE Internetworking, was also a major factor in building the Internet. And the government funded the Internet, and the goal of the project was really to have dispersed computers throughout the country that could keep working in the event of a disaster. If one computer was knocked out, another one could still work.
It was a national security project.
Right, the ARPANET.
Mm-hmm.
The Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a packet network. Bits are sent in little packages like envelopes called packets to different computers.
Well, let me ask you, how did it become commercial? At what point in time did it become commercialized?
Well, it started to become commercialized in the late 80s, but the real factor that caused the Internet to take off was the development of the World Wide Web, WWW.
You mean the World Wide Wait?
Absolutely.
It's what you mentioned in your book, and I agree with you. Sometimes people think of it as the World Wide Wait. But now, you know, I want you to differentiate those, and we've talked about that before, but I think it's worth repeating. Some people sort of say Internet and World Wide Web interchangeably, and that's not really correct.
Really, it's not quite correct, but it's fine. Everyone knows what they're talking about.
Right.
The World Wide Web was developed in 1989 by Tim Berners-Lee in Switzerland.
Stand by, Annabelle. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get you to restate what the difference is between the World Wide Web and the Internet. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Give us a call.
Now I find you long in your stuff to
or after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to listen to my show. If you're not where you can listen on the radio, if you're aware, can't listen on the radio, check it out. Check my website out. You can listen live. You can hear a replay of today's show. You can hear Annabelle Dodd, my guest this hour's lilting voice, all over again, and as long as you want, as much as you want, until it's replaced with tomorrow's show. That's available from my website, as well as hundreds of archives of historic shows we've done, some of them all the way back into over a year ago, and some really good shows. They're all available on my website in a very cool search engine, as well as in major categories. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. 888-822-8255 is our phone number. Annabelle Dodd, as I said, is our special guest. She is the author of the book I'm holding in my hand that I recommend to you, The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. Annabelle, tell us where the book is available.
It's available at all major stores and online at places like Amazon.com and mm-hmm. BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, good. Thank you. And it's in a second edition, by the way, folks. So that means it was highly successful the first time. Probably well on your way to a third printing, too, huh?
Yeah. We're having the third printing this month.
Congratulations.
Yeah, they're already talking to me about a third edition.
All right.
Books get old immediately, Jim.
In this world, in the world that you wrote this one in, it sure does. I mean, this is not going to be, it's a classic now, but it's not going to be a classic 100 years from now.
No, it won't.
Okay, you were telling us about the difference between the Internet and the World Wide Web.
Yeah, and the advent of the World Wide Web is very significant and really caused the Internet to be commercialized. And the World Wide Web is simply the way people interface with the internet and how they get information from sites. It allows you to have a graphical interface. It's what gives you the graphics, the video, the audio. It allows us to hear smallbusinessadvocate.com.
Yeah.
And it also allows us to link the buttons when you click on a button and it links
to
another.
That's page. World Wide Web.
Right.
All right. Now, the internet is kind of more of a backbone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right. It's the packet switching behind the World Wide Web. I was on the internet before there was a World Wide Web, and you had to memorize commands, and if you had one letter capitalized instead of lowercase, the command didn't work. It was very hard to use. I sent email to people, but it was just complicated to use it.
15 years ago, when I was on CompuServe or something like that, what was that?
Those are information service providers. And people use CompuServe, they use
Prodigy.
Prodigy.
That was before the World Wide Web.
Right. They used that what did you use it for research?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Sears and IBM were in it. They owned Prodigy, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but
right. Okay, so the internet is basically the technical infrastructure behind all of this, and the World Wide Web is more the community. Would that be a good way to say it?
Absolutely. It's perfect. Or the user interface.
Uh-huh. So the community, think of this, folks, and this is, I have to be reminded of this myself, even as much as I use this and as many of these shows that I do. The internet is the technical. Think of it as more the electronic. And this is oversimplification to the nth degree, okay? But just I'm just trying to make sure that we come up with something that helps us remember. It's the technical, the electronic backbone or infrastructure of our electronic communications. And the World Wide Web is more the community that we're developing that's continually evolving. Now, is HTML, hypertext markup language, is that World Wide Web?
Yes, that's one of the key protocols for the World Wide Web.
Yeah, that's how you when you see a website, folks, it's created in HTML, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the language that it creates the buttons, it creates the look and feel of the pages.
Well, the magic of HTML, correct me if I'm wrong here, Annabelle, the magic of HTML is it's cross-platform.
Right, that's the whole magic of the internet and the World Wide Web. It's really created a community. Whatever kind of computer you have, as long as you have a browser,
right?
My Apple can talk to your. I don't know if you have an IBM.
I have Apple too, but if I didn't, we could still talk, and we do. Stand by, Annabelle. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show. Put the words all together and the normal stuff on the front and the back. Annabelle Dodd is our guest and our good friend. She's the author of The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. It's in second edition and about to be in third printing, right, Annabelle?
Yeah, it's really selling well. Motorola is probably going to buy hundreds. I mean, a lot of big companies are buying hundreds of books and giving them out to their staff and to their customers.
See what I mean, folks? I've told you before, I don't have any chopped liver on this show.
Ah.
Only the best for my audience. Only the best. Annabelle, let me ask you a question. We're talking about the difference between the Internet and the World Wide Web. You could have the Internet without the World Wide Web. In fact,
yes.
We did, because it was maybe created 20 years before the World Wide Web.
Absolutely.
But you couldn't have the World Wide Web without the Internet.
That's right.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay.
Because you need the packet switches.
You got to have that backbone, that infrastructure, right?
Right.
Now, where is email? Tell us where email is in all that.
Well, email is a service, and it's when you have an Internet host provider, or even with your AOL, or I can't remember who you use, Jim, your internet service, they have specialized computers at their site called servers, and your email is located on their server, and that's and that's one of the services that your internet service provides.
What is it operated? Is it part of the World Wide Web or part of the internet? It's part of the World Wide Web, isn't it?
It was also part of the internet.
Okay.
It's a service. It was originally a service of the internet. It's just easier to access and easier to get to with the World Wide Web.
So really,
because your web browser, you know, you have the buttons.
Right. So what you're saying is the and so then is it also safe to say that the applications, like the email applications that are available, are on the World Wide Web and not on the internet? Is that accurate?
No, it's accessible. You get to it through the interface of the World Wide Web, but it's really located physically in the internet.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. But to access it.
It's a little confusing, folks. I mean, I try to pay attention to these things. It can get just a little bit confusing sometimes.
As long as your internet connection is up and working and you can send your email, Jim.
That's right. All right, tell us who runs the internet.
Well, there are a lot of different organizations that run the internet. The internet used to be funded by the federal government, by the Defense Department, and they're pretty much getting out of that business. And people like IETF, that's Standards Internet Engineering Task Force, and there's other organizations that set up do the addressing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really...
That's like Internet and Network Solutions.
Right.
Or as I call them sometimes, Network Non-Solutions.
Why?
Oh, I've just had a little bit of a row with them in the last couple of weeks or so. I completely changed my hosting company, which we'll talk about in a minute, what a hosting company is, and I also changed my website. My audience knows I have a brand spanking new website, and and I did both of those at the same time, and it's just, I don't know, the service is not as good as I think it should be and as it used to be, and I guess it's because they've just been so much busier. But anyway, it's a long story. I won't go into all that, you will learn. You will get an education if you change hosts and change websites at the same time. You will get an education, I promise you.
Ooh.
Anyway, no, but we got Network Solutions. They're in charge of the domain name.
Right, but the people that, and there are other companies now that can give out domain names besides Network Solutions, and the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers is allowing other companies to give out domain names. And domain names, that's like your smallbusinessadvocate.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a mask. It's a cover for different numbers.
Right. Yeah, your domain name is that series of three numbers and a dot, three numbers and a dot, two numbers and a dot, two numbers and a dot.
Right, it's equivalent to your telephone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to think of it that way.
And your actual name, which is really a brand, pretty much, is
right.
Actually an alias, what they call an alias, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I had a horror story. I signed up with a host to host my website, and then they went out of business and didn't pay my domain name.
Oh, no.
And it almost got canceled.
Oh, no.
But luckily, Network Solutions sent me a letter, so I knew that it wasn't paid.
You know how to solve that problem? You make sure that you are the administrative contact for that name. Never let anyone else but you. If you are the person, folks, this is very important, what I'm about to say. If you have a domain that you personally want to make sure that you decide when it goes off the air, when it becomes available to somebody else instead of you, you make sure that you are the administrative contact. Don't worry about the technical contact. Don't worry about the billing contact. You are the administrative contact. And Annabelle, if you're the administrative contact, no one but you can change that. If your agreement lapses, your annual agreement lapses, then they will contact you personally.
Yeah, that's what they did for me.
That's how you prevent that from happening. That's something else I learned recently. Very important. 39 after, stand by, Annabelle. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be right back with Annabelle Dowd, the author of The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. smallbusinessadvocate.com. And that's where you can go to hear Annabelle Dodd. If you wanted to hear a repeat of what we talked about, if you'd like to learn more about the internet and some of the things we've said maybe got by you or you've just tuned in late or whatever, you can go to my website and you can hear a replay of this show right now, not right now, but in about an hour and a half or so, a couple of hours. We'll have that up for a 24-hour period until it's replaced with the next day's show. And all that's available from my website, including hundreds of archives. And so check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And Annabelle Dodd, you've got a website as well, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's www.doddontheline.com.
Dodd on the line.
Yes.
Spell that.
D as in David, O-D-D-O-N, the line, T-H-E-L-I-N-E.
All together. Dodd, her last name, Dodd, on the line.com. Good. Thank you. And can they buy your book from there, or do they need to go to one of the online bookstores or one of the local bookstores?
Well, if you click on my book, it's on my website. It will take you to Amazon.com.
But, okay.
Or, you know, some people, you can go to almost any bookstore and buy it.
Don't have it. If they don't have it, they can't order it for you, no question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We were talking about, and by the way, folks, the book is called The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. I'd really recommend it. We were talking about hosting. I told you that I changed the host of my site as well as the site at the same time, and I had to notify. Actually, what happened was my new hosting company had to query, so to speak, Network Solutions or Internet. Those names are almost interchangeable, although they're two different organizations. They had to query them and say, okay, we're changing. We want to take over the hosting of this site, my site, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Whereupon Network Solutions sent me a notice and said, do you agree to make this change? And because I was the administrative contact, they sent it to me, and then I said yes, sent it back to them, and it got put through. But if you're not the administrative, if you let your webmaster, your hosting company, if you let them be the administrative contact, then they can make those decisions for you, and sometimes they make them wrong.
Jim, I think that's such an important point. And that's analogous to not owning your own 800 number.
That's right.
I know people that instead of getting their 800 numbers directly from an MCI or Sprint, got them from a company that still retained ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've lost them. So that's a really important point.
No question. Talk to us about hosting.
Hosting is the company that, you know, some very, very large businesses will have their home pages in a computer on their own site.
Their own servers.
Right, on their own servers, those specialized computers that have the web pages on them.
Gazillion gigabytes of memory.
Right. A, you need a gazillion gigabytes of memory.
Right.
B, you need security so hackers don't get into your site. And C, you need high-speed telephone lines that
mm-hmm.
connect you to the internet.
Lots of them.
Lots of them. Redundant ones in case one goes down. So what people like Jim and I and most small and medium-sized businesses do is they have a host company. I pay $45 a month for my web site to be located at a host company. And people get to my host through a high-speed, what's called a T1 line, 1.54 million bits per second line,
mm-hmm.
from their server to the internet. So you have to have a host that has fast enough telephone lines and possibly redundancy. I know my host company, once their T1 line went down and no one could reach my web pages. I'm like the shoemaker without any shoes, Jim. But in some people, if you have AOL, some internet service providers will host pages without a fee. But I went to a specialized hosting company.
Yeah, and there are literally thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of those around the world. And these are people who provide that for you. Some of them, as you say, Annabelle, some of them are really well-known companies, and some of them are not. Some of them are small companies. My new hosting company is a relatively small company.
Yeah, so is mine, and mine will do my web page design. I don't do my own HTML or design it or anything.
Right. But now that's different from the ISP, your initial internet service. I'm sorry, internet service provider. The hosting company is different from your ISP.
Right. Although in some cases it can be the same.
All right. But, give us an example of that.
Well, AOL.
All right. The portals.
Right.
The big portals.
Right. But yeah. And, you know, there's so many mergers and acquisitions in the field, you don't know what's going to stay separate for long anyways. But right now, a lot of them are separate.
Okay, let's just kind of summarize a couple of things here before we go to the break. You have, if you want to get online, if you want to go to the Internet, you've got to have an ISP. You've got to connect to the Internet through an ISP.
Right.
And you don't have to have a website, so you just first thing you need is a computer that will work, that will connect to the Internet, and an ISP, an Internet Service Provider. Then later, you get a website. You find someone to design your website and someone to host your website. You got to have all that. And we'll finish this up when we come back after these messages. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Annabelle Dodd is our guest, and she is the author of The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. I recommend you check that book out, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's a beautiful morning. Anytime I get to get up and talk to small business owners and small business dreamers about their dreams, about the things that make them tick, the things that they're excited about, the things that frighten them a little bit, and some of the things that will help them to follow their dream. I like doing that a lot, and I want to thank you to my audience. I want to thank you very much for allowing me to do this. I also want to thank our friend Annabelle Dodd, who's our guest this hour, for joining us and for imparting her words of wisdom to us about the telecommunications industry. Annabelle, thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I always learn something myself when I talk to people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Me too, especially. That's what half the fun of doing what I do.
Yeah.
The Essential Guide to Telecommunications, in its second edition by Annabelle Dodd. Ladies and gentlemen, check that out in bookstores and on the online bookstores, and also her website. You can go directly to buy that from her website, which is called Dodd, two D's, online. Is that right? Dodd Online?
On the line.
On
Dodd
the
on
line.
Line.
DoddOnTheLine.com. Okay, I was just giving you the little run through about what you've got to have. You've got to have a computer. You've got to have an ISP. You've got to connect to the, so you can connect to the web. And that could be a lot of different things. It could be an ISP. You don't have to do business with a portal, ladies and gentlemen. You do not have to do business with a portal, which is like AOL, some of the big companies, in order to get online. That's one thing I want to make sure people understand. But you have to have an ISP, and your portal could also be your ISP if you wanted to be. But you could do business, right, Annabelle Dodd, with a local company that's not a portal, just
right.
An ISP company. But
right.
You've got to have a browser, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
You have to have a browser. Tell us about the different browsers.
Well, Microsoft makes Internet Explorer, and Netscape makes the Communicator. And
right, which is what I use.
Netscape?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do too. But people are happy with the Microsoft browser also. And, you know, the browser gives you the buttons that you click on so you don't have to learn how to type in arcane commands.
Right. That's what the browser does, is just basically makes it simplifies the process that was originated back in 1969 when they founded the Internet.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Get
yeah.
your buttons and pictures and bookmarks.
It's a program, basically.
Right.
It's a computer program, and also that browser will offer you some level of email, won't it, typically?
Yeah, and
some level of email service, email capability.
Right, and the thing that's really changed about email is that people are sending more and more Word and Excel and PowerPoint attachments.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly even send any hard copy proposals anymore. I send everything as an email attachment.
Yeah. But do you have trouble converting Word files? I do. When people send me a Word file which looks like a .doc, I have trouble with that.
Well, you know, I bought a program, and when we're off the air, I'll tell you what it is.
Why can't you tell me on the air?
Because I don't remember.
Backlink. Okay. Yeah, probably so. We both use Macintosh, by the way.
Yeah, but I think my program is Mac Link.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have it helped me so much.
And you can convert Word files. If someone sends you Word files from a PC, you can convert those.
You know, they convert automatically.
I'll be done.
I have Word 98. Do you have Word 98?
No, I need. That's what I need to get.
If you had Word 98, it would work.
Yeah. Annabelle Dow, that's got to be the last word. Folks, we're going to have Annabelle back with us in a couple of 3 weeks or so. We're going to talk about connectivity, the different types of connectivity you can have. Is that okay, Annabelle?
Sure.
We'll see you then. Thank you. You did a great job.
Thanks a lot.
See you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.